You're listening to Potential Cast Season 3, Episode 18, Earshot. After slaying a telepathic demon, Buffy is bombarded with the thoughts of everyone around her, including one student who appears to be planning mass murder. My name is Stephanie.
I'm Kimberly.
This is Gabby.
I'm Illyrio.
And I'm Heidi.
Heidi!
Heidi, hello!
Hi!
Welcome.
Yes, thank you.
Once again. Was it a long wait?
It was.
How are we doing?
Great!
Thank you.
Aww.
Have you caught up on all the episodes?
Everything that has been released, yes.
Sweet.
Awesome.
Sweet. He's drinking scotch.
It's Diet Pepsi with 11 ice cubes. Because even though I'm in my basement office, it's a little hot in Montreal today.
Where I was so hot in Toronto today. We had a heat advisory.
Heat advisory?
What?
That's Canadian fancy talk for... It's hot.
It was like 32 degrees, and then
let me translate that for the Americans.
yes, please.
Like 32 is like freezing for you guys, but
for the Americans, let me go here to my as opposed to the Americans, we hate them. Right now in Montreal, it's 84.
Wow, that's cool.
The high today was 87, and in Toronto.
Toronto.
Let's add Toronto.
Was 32.
Spelling Toronto. It's like, white people dial the phone like this. Black people dial the phone like that. In Toronto right now, it's 88.
Oh my gosh, it's 82 here.
And the high was 90.
Wow.
It was so hot today.
Okay, so.
We're back.
Let's be back. And yeah, it's hot.
Okay. So...
All right, so Buffy's on patrol, and she kills one of two mouthless demons. And the blood is absorbed into her skin, and the second demon escapes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our teaser.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so. In the library, little headway is being made into the investigation of the mayor's ascension.
Mm-hmm.
But at least we know about Fate's treachery.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know what? We have to do feedback.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Edit.
No problem.
All right. Let's get into feedback.
Yes. I'll do a couple emails here. I'm going to do one that is... I have some earshot from Nikki Fuller. Ooh, Comic Sans.
Comic Sans.
So Nikki writes, "Hey, Gax, I'm finally catching up with the podcast episodes, and I'm actually ahead of you now." On viewing. That's okay, though, because I've seen the whole series before. A lot. Anywho, I'm peeking out from behind my school research to share some of my thoughts on Earshot. Here goes. Lots of sounds in that paragraph. Ha! Buffy finally finds out Giles and her mom had sex. Larry still thinks Xander's gay, and Giles would like it if Buffy took Jonathan to the prom. Ah, some good LOL moments. Aside from the pain of Buffy's aspect of the demon debacle, although isn't it great fun when she hears what the gang is thinking and Xander's caught up on sex and Oz have an existential crisis? Anyway, yay for Angel saving Buffy and therefore moving them past the little break she needed at the end of Enemies. Though when Earshot originally aired, it was delayed because of the Columbine shootings.
Really?
So we didn't actually see it until season 4 was airing. which means when we all saw choices, it was confusing as to why Buffy seemed so instantly over Angel's portrayal as Angelus. Those are my thoughts for tonight. Hope this gets read on the podcast like old times. It's been too long since I've written in, that is. I'd love to end with a great quote, but I won't because I love you guys. Nikki Faith, a.k.a. Myth Girl on Twitter. Thank you, Nikki.
So this aired a year later?
Yeah, it aired apparently at what? Season 4?
In September.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's strange. Well, not strange, but I even thought about that when the episode was on. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, oh, when was Columbine?
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly a week to the day before of when this episode would have aired.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, because there were all those school shootings right there in, you know, in the, I guess it was in the late 90s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's even mentions
that it was like a fad.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Or something?
Mm-hmm.
So, I heard a rumor that, in fact, Jonathan was supposed to actually be the killer, but that they rewrote it so that it would be not gun violence related killer and like cartoony rat poison killer.
Huh. Really? Is that why it made no sense at the end?
That's it. I think we should talk about the gun.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Can we talk about the gun and then we'll do feedback, or should we do feedback? Let's continue feedback. And then I'd really need to talk about the gun.
Okay.
Angie9. Hi, Gax. Now to earshot. Do you all believe Jonathan just went up to the tower to commit suicide? Who commits suicide with a rifle? Didn't I see a scope on that thing? I'm just saying that a more logical choice would have been a pistol.
Oh, shit. That sounds loud.
Stephanie swore.
I love it. When she swears, it's so cute.
All right, back to the email. I'm just saying that a more logical choice would have been a pistol. I think he was just covering Angie.
Yeah.
There you go. Hmm.
Oh, I see. So Angie's positing that it wasn't a rewrite, but that he just kind of said, no, I wouldn't hurt anyone. It was just going
to kill me. Yeah, and then the cafeteria lady just happened to be pouring rat poison at the same time.
Yeah. Sorry, Angie.
It's just
you're incorrect.
Tacked on. It was
weird though. It really feels like it was rewritten.
I've never heard the rewrite thing.
I've never heard that either.
Someone mentioned that either in an email or they mentioned it in one of the comments on Facebook. And the person who mentioned it basically said, I have no evidence or have never heard of any evidence for it, but I just get that feeling. And you know what? It makes sense to me that that's what they did. Amanda Adams writes, Dear Gax Plus guest. I just started listening this week at the urging of hubby Jim, one of your earliest fans. Awesome, Jim. Now, Amanda, you have to tell one person. And then they tell one person. Okay. So this is actually a very, very elaborate pyramid scheme. So much fun you all are. I'm falling behind on my NPR podcast in favor of Gax. Seriously, you're kicking Terry Gross and Ira Glass's asses on my iPod.
Sweet.
Like that, intellectuals. Jim and I, Amanda, or Jamanda, as we were long before Goyce, are longtime Buffy fans, and I wanted to share the following unspoiled notes from the Buffyverse, that is, Jamanda's couch. Number one, that's a good name for a podcast. Jamanda's Couch.
Jamanda's Couch.
Buffy's stunt double, codename Stuffy. As special guest Des noted, when she's transformed to Stuffy, Buffy morphs 50 pounds in 20 years. That is, unless Stuffy performs feats of gymnastics when she is suddenly a lean 12-year-old Chinese girl with a blonde wig. Well, she may be Romanian. The cutaways are quick. Also, of note are Stangle, Stike, and Staith, entities unto themselves. Number two, every time Buffy cries, her lower lip collapses like a building in a Michael Bay film, and the Buffy face melted induces such rollicking Amanda laughter that the gym half gets excited for Buffy tears because they produce such joy. Seriously, what is with her cry face? Buffy's cry face is so awesome, even more awesome than Faith's Billy Joel droopy eyes. It's like an Amy Sedaris face, but on accident. Number three, In all the years of fandom in the Buffyverse, never has anyone, to our knowledge, claimed that Buffy the Vampire Slayer is their favorite character on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Without spoiling, because spoiling is bad, Jamanda took a vote, really two votes, and of our three favorite characters, Gax only truly knows one and has seen a second. Number one is Giles. After all the Buffy, Angel, Firefly, and Psy, Dollhouse, Shudder, Giles is our favorite. Added the U for the A and K of Gax. Friend from the Whedonverse. We loved him so much, we even watched Merlin. BBC, you betrayer, we expect better of you. You reserve revealing number two and number three until you get to know them. And no, it's not Jonathan. Number four. I am eagerly awaiting some serious future fashion moments in season four. No spoilers, but I'm giddy with anticipation.
Oh my
number
God.
Five. Finally, is it just the Amanda half of Jamanda, or does Kaylee from Firefly not totally remind you of Willow? Cut from the same cloth, those little pies. Of the cutie and sweetie
variety.
Thanks, Gax, and Gax plus G. Keep it real, like Spike. Amanda.
Thank you. Thank you.
So what about the cafeteria lady stunt double?
There was some commenting about that on the Facebook group. We will get to it. Now I am to begrudgingly accept feedback from someone whose last name is Bruin. Can someone else other than myself, admittedly crazy Montreal Canadiens fan, would like to read from the Bruin? Please, I can't.
All right, I'll read it.
Of course you would.
Hi, what does that mean?
Never mind.
Hi, Gak. I've listened to your podcast since the beginning, and I enjoy it very much.
Yay.
I like to hear how you guys experience the show as newbies, and I understand it is fun to receive mail and feedback. But for me as a listener, it is not so interesting to hear mails from people who have already seen the show. And worse, most of them seem very spoilery to me. Even remarks like, you're going to love this episode. Do we have to read this one?
Oh, God.
Read it. This is like so meta. It's awesome.
You gotta love this episode. It contained too much information. How could an episode possibly live up to that claim? I want to hear about how you feel about an episode without you guys being spoiled with the endless stream of subtle and less subtle hints. Other point. Don't save all the quotes for the end of the show. There are so many of them. They're best used in context. Best wishes, Willem Holland.
Thank you, Willem.
Thank you, Willem.
Yes, you have listeners in Holland too. Well, at least two anyway.
Awesome. Woo! We think that
I like that idea to use the
quotes in between.
Steph?
Uh-oh.
There we go. We're back.
Oh.
Okay.
Steph?
Go ahead.
No, I was just wondering where
I'm
you
here.
Went. Did I go somewhere?
I don't know.
Okay.
I have no idea.
This is going to be so much fun editing this when I get back from Comic-Con. Yeah. I think it's perfectly okay for people to tell us how they feel about things or how much they anticipate something. I don't think people should talk about specifics. Mm-hmm. That is all. That's all. Again, I'm not looking to find out what's happening, right? I'm kind of in a spoiler-free mode, but I'm also in a... not too much speculation mode. So things like telling me that you really love this or you can't wait for me to hear this or my reaction to this, just to put that in context, when people said that my head was going to explode for passion, not once, not even for a millisecond, I'm being completely honest here because I don't give a not once did I even think that something bad was going to happen to Jenny Calendar.
Uh-huh.
So... just, you know, as that as a kind of point of reference for our listeners, I think it's perfectly cool to, you know, tell me that you think it's going to be a cool episode or that it's your favorite episode or how much you love it, because you're not giving me any plot points.
And so I think that's the point of this. The point of this is we love it so much. We want to tell y'all that we hope that you love it as much as we do. So that's the point. And
The end.
Thank you for your email.
Scene.
Yes.
But thank you, Willem.
To write again.
Thank you.
I really do appreciate the commentary and the feedback. Gabby, do you want to read Nucha's email?
Sure. let me see. Oh, okay, here we go. Spoilers for Earshot. When this episode first aired, it didn't. It was set to air the same week as the Columbine shooting, so they pulled it, and it didn't air until after Graduation Part 2, which was also delayed in airing because they feared anything happening at a real graduation.
What?
And, and I always believed that the ending we see is not the original ending, but I have never seen anything to support that. It just seems pretty lame at the end with the lunch lady.
Yes.
I could not agree with you more, Nuchas, and when I read this earlier on my phone, it totally made sense to me what you said.
I love how this episode shows a really cool power can end up being a curse. Seems true for most powers in the Buffyverse. Nuchas. Thank you, Nuchas.
Thank you.
But why would they spend the money and take the time to write and film an alternate ending when it wasn't going to be aired anytime soon anyway?
They probably did the alternate ending after.
Yeah.
Like, well after the
Because they had the time over the summer, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, this is what we got to do. Mm-hmm. We have to rewatch it, and we're going to see if we can tell if Xander and Buffy look slightly older or have their hair slightly longer.
Yeah. Or if Buffy is darker because she's been on Tanning. Vacation. Yeah.
Ah, excellent point. So, that would be an interesting thing to explore.
Mm-hmm.
John Pavlich. So my washing machine buzz.
Do you want me to read this?
Go for it.
Go for it. Wait a second. Heidi, are you still here?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay. I was thinking about it and I was like, what? Okay, go on.
All right, Earshot from John Pavlich. So here we arrive at Earshot, one of my favorite episodes of season 3 and arguably one of the best of the entire series. There are equal measures of comedy, drama, and suspense here. I find that from the writing, directing, and acting and scoring... all the way through makes for a tightly constructed and well-crafted episode. It's an especially effective watch once you know the episode's history within our culture and society. On April 20th, 1999, in Littleton, Colorado, two teenage boys committed mass murder at their high school, killing 13 people before committing suicide. Earshot was scheduled to air just 1 week later. Joss Whedon and the WB Network both agreed that the content was too similar to the recent events in Colorado and decided not to air it at such a sensitive time. The episode eventually aired on September 21st of that year, 5 months after the fact. There's only one minor exchange of dialogue near the end of the episode that I cannot stand. At the notion of Buffy and Jonathan going to the prom together, Buffy seems uncharacteristically shallow and disgusted. And when she dismisses him as too short, this makes even less sense considering both actors and presumably their characters are basically the same height, between 5'2 and 5'4. As someone who is also height challenged, I find this moment very offensive and off-put. It is kind of incensed.
Guys, come on. He's like 3 feet tall.
Yeah, it's off-putting. I'm more or less... Yeah. As tall as Oz, but built like Xander. The word stocky comes to mind, but enough about me and this chip on my shoulder. I call him Winston. That's right. I name all of my insecurities.
Mine is Waldorf.
I love this episode, and I hope you will too. 10 gelatin desserts out of 10.
All right.
Oh, John Pavlich. P.S. Save the clock from the tower. Here's the fun goof from the episode when Buffy first looks up at the clock tower looking for Jonathan. The clock says 12:40, but when she looks back, up a moment later, it says 12:10, and shortly before this scene, it says 11:00.
No, I noticed that.
I didn't.
Nope.
Because I'm not observant.
I I kind of thought it was out of Buffy's character to say he's like 3 feet tall. That was more a Cordelia thing, but
yeah.
But yeah, she was shallow in her previous school, so mm-hmm. maybe a little bit of that was creeping back in.
Don't think about the guys that she dates.
Very yeah. true. They're all this over 6 feet.
Yeah.
Was Scott Hope tall? He didn't seem tall at all.
Yeah, he was probably average.
Mm-hmm.
Shelley writes, "Hey, Gaxy people. Just found out you're recording tonight, so this will be a quickie. Jane Espenson, clever. Scooby's thoughts, especially Oz, Cordelia, and Xander, perfect. Jonathan, adorable. Funniest episode ending ever. Priceless. Love you guys. Looking forward to the meetup next week, Shelley."
Aww.
I can't believe we're going to meet listeners.
I know, I'm so excited. Maybe they won't hate my guts after they hear this week's episode.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God.
They don't hate you.
Does Steph need a bodyguard for Comic-Con?
Nah, they'll understand, maybe.
On Facebook, some of the comments, Daniel says, "Gois!" Christine, "Fighting urge not to quote." Bob mentions Seaward Torchwood got the idea for that first season episode about the pendant, and I had forgotten about that episode, and Bob is totally right. I then replied, "Awesome episode of Torchwood, especially the lesbian part of the storyline." And that was awesome. And Kelly Jo says, "And that's why you bring lunch from home." Karen says, "Earshot was an interesting episode, shown out of order due to Columbine. It was one of those episodes that could be missed without losing anything, but had some very good moments. Also, loved Buffy finding out about Gois and Jonathan. Moments are awesome. I'm a Jonathan fan. Can you tell?" Cheryl, "This episode is a great balance of funny and serious. Hearing everybody's thoughts is a hilarious way to get to know more about the supporting characters." Sheena says it's one of her very favorite episodes. Nick Smith, "There's one question that's been bothering me since I first saw this episode. Who tries to kill themselves with a high-powered rifle?"
Yes.
"Is Jonathan such a loser that he can't score a handgun or a tall building or a belt and a door? Just asking." Nick, your callousness, I think you're awesome. Don't be overly sensitive. Carol, "Maybe he knows absolutely nothing about guns, so he took the biggest one he could find, because bigger is always better."
So is this the Jonathan episode everyone was hinting about?
Probably not. Let's move on.
All right.
Alicia says, "Love the Buffy and Giles interactions in this episode. Also, I hope somebody uses the quote Buffy says to Giles before he runs into the tree." Val asks, "Did you roll your eyes or laugh out loud when you saw the lunch lady with the giant rat poison on the box?" I think I did both. At least the box looked like it could be real, all multicolored with other writing, not just a plain white box with the lettering. I'm looking at you, gingerbread kids. You and your super generic bottle of chloroform. And the whole Buffy lunch lady fight was hysterical. In one shot, the lunch lady dropped about 100 pounds exactly. and turned into a man. Worst stunt double ever. Also, one of my favorite endings with Buffy and Giles. Don't get me started on the rifle. And John corrects, "Contrary to popular belief, the audio commentary for this episode points out the stunt person is in fact a woman. Just not a well-matched replacement for the actor."
No shit.
Let's see. So I'm gonna read, "Rachel, I love you, but you're so verbose, it's hard to fit it in. You know what, I'm gonna do it. I just saw this about an hour ago and I hastily wrote down some thoughts while rewatching the episode, and I don't know if Gax will read it, so I'll share it here. Well, you know what? This is where I'm going to read it from. Well, I guess Xander wasn't exaggerating back in episode one that he has trouble with math. The boy can't even do simple multiplication. And even if he doesn't know what a mulligan is, he does unwittingly unveil the true murderer before the investigation even begins. Go, Xander! I like how Othello Iago is thematically related to not just this episode, but also to the Angel, Angelus, and Buffy faith arcs
in
general.
Trying to be too smart. Anyways, come on.
Angel is funny. Who knew? And although it may be rare, it's always great to see Action Angel to the rescue, and no wonder that he's so broody. Imagine living 241 years without love. And then when you finally do find it, you can't be with that person. That's gotta suck. Is that a vampire pun? It's good that they're finally developing his character 2.5 years into the show. You know, now that he's leaving. He's leaving? What? Another great example of how much Willow relishes taking leadership and the power that comes from interrogating people dating back to Halloween and Go Fish. I love the subtlety of Willow's character development. Love that the high school paper has an obituary section and one of the headlines reads, "Apathy on the rise, no one cares." The Joss Penn speech by Buffy in the Clock Tower beautifully summed up the underlying theme of both the episode and season 3 in general. To address the lazy writing controversy over Jonathan using a rifle to commit suicide while leaving aside the writer's intent to mislead the audience, most people don't bring a gun of any kind to school in order to commit suicide at a school. Suicide is usually something done privately. Combine the aforementioned with the fact that Jonathan's plan was so dramatic and ill-conceived to begin with, i.e. he wrote a letter to the newspaper beforehand and brought an unwieldy and extremely difficult weapon with which to accomplish suicide, leads me to believe any one or a combination of the following. One, even if only at an unconscious level, Jonathan wanted to get caught and his plan was a cry for help.
No.
Two, the rifle was the only gun to which he had access.
No.
Three, he didn't find the idea impossible given that he didn't find the idea impossible, given that Kurt Cobain used a shotgun to kill himself 5 years earlier. supposedly weak, I know, but we are talking about a teenager attempting suicide. The bottom line is that he's not exactly thinking clearly. Finally, Giles is becoming increasingly snarky. He even called Wesley a Burke. And now he's even doing slapstick. Getting fired by the council was probably the best thing that's ever happened to him. The final scene is priceless, especially given that it was Ash's idea. Excuse me, that it was Anthony Stewart Head's idea.
Oh, interesting.
Thank you very much, Rachel. I'm glad I read your comments. They were very insightful. I want to talk about this gun thing.
Yeah.
I will be very brief. If he's 3 feet tall, how is he even going to be able to reach the trigger and aim it at himself? Yeah. I rest my case, Your Honor.
Yeah. It was totally, like, we understand if that was what was happening at the time, then sure, they did a rewrite. They didn't have time to refilm everything, so they tried as best they could. The end.
Agreed. Anybody else want to talk about the gun?
SOD, we'll just leave it to that.
All right.
Yeah.
Why did we not see any aspic in the episode?
Any what?
I keep talking about the aspic of the demon, oh. Aspic of the demon, aspic of the demon. I keep expecting to see some kind of, you know, dish with ingredients that are set into a gelatin made from meat stock or consomme, but there was none. Why no aspic?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
I heard aspect and I thought immediately aspic. have any of you ever sampled aspic?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Exactly. I'm like, what are you talking about?
But I've never eaten it.
All right, here we go. In the chat right now, I have posted a link. Please click.
Okay.
Okay.
Where do I find this?
Where did it go? I'm like, where is it?
Oh.
I don't see it.
There's a link in the chat.
There's like a little orange bubble.
And gelatin?
What? Ugh. That looks disgusting.
That's aspic.
Yeah.
Almost any type of food can be set into aspics. Most common are meat pieces, fruits, or vegetables.
That's disgusting.
Aspics are usually served on cold plates so that the gel will not melt before being eaten. A meat jelly that includes cream is called chaud froid.
Disgusting.
Literally translated just means hot cold.
Hot cold.
Nearly any type of meat can be used to make the gelatin: pork, beef, veal, chicken, turkey, or fish. Gelatin is also found in cartilage.
Mm. So is that like when you put like
it's not a jello mold.
No, but like, you know, when you put chicken in the fridge or whatever and the next day it has that gel on the bottom.
Yes.
People eat that? Gelatin.
Yes.
Ew.
Ew.
Mm.
Is it a French thing?
No, in popular culture.
It's what?
History. Historically, meat jellies were made before fruit and vegetable jellies. By the Middle Ages, at the latest, cooks had discovered that a thickened meat broth could be made into a jelly. A detailed recipe for aspic is found in Le Viandier, written in... Yes, it must be French. Written in around 1375.
Weirdos.
In the 18th century, Marie-Antoine Carême created chaud-froid in France. Chaud-froid means hot-cold in French, referring to foods that were prepared hot and served cold. Like revenge! Revenge is a dish best served in aspic.
Ugh, gross.
Sorry, I had to bring up aspic.
I had no idea what you're talking about.
This is an educational podcast.
It sure is.
Cutting room floor!
Funny. All right. So, are we going to go in order now, or?
Okay, now! All right. While on patrol, Buffy kills one of two mouthless demons.
Uh-huh.
Are you there?
Uh-oh.
Cut out.
God. It's me, Margaret.
The headway is being made into the investigation of the mayor's ascension.
Steph,
at least we know about faceless treachery.
Steph?
Yes.
Start over. You disappeared and now you're back.
Okay. Let me start over. Let's just do it like I've always done.
I'm okay with us doing this. I have no issues with us doing this. I think we should, if you want to do this, we should persevere, and I fully support this. I just want to let you know that is that you cut out, and which is, you know, let's go for it. If you want to go for it, go for it. I have no issues with this. I think it's a good idea.
Okay. All right, in the teaser, we see Buffy on patrol, and she's killed one of two mouthless demons. The blood is absorbed into her skin, and the second demon escapes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and to bring up the mayor's storyline, little headway is being made into the investigation of the mayor's ascension. At least we know about Faith's treachery.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So in the hallway, Willow advises Buffy to directly ask Angel how he feels about Faith.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the basketball team is in the championship.
Yay.
Yay.
Okay. How many of you expected?
Can spell.
How many of you expected this basketball team to be another steroid case?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, good. Neither did I. I would have been extraordinarily disappointed.
All right, so Buffy's hand starts itching, and Giles discovers that the demon can infect the host with an aspect of itself.
Oh, aspect.
Oh, aspect, not jello.
Not aspect.
Jello. With their white-out blood.
White-out blood. I know.
That's what I thought. I'm like, they bleed white out. What's up with that?
Okay, I was thinking
like mercury. It looked
That's
like mercury.
I thought it was mercury.
can I just say that I don't think Wesley was detained by official council business.
What do you think he was doing?
I think he and Cordy were in a broom closet.
No, I don't.
I think so.
Dirty dog.
I think so.
No, then Cordelia would have been thinking about it, and Buffy would have heard it.
No, she wouldn't. No, she wouldn't. No, if Cordelia's thoughts were extraordinarily transparent, she'd think it, she'd say it. Think it, she'd say it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? She's only thinking about what she's going to say. She's not thinking about other things.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's what I think. I don't think it was official business.
Mm.
And Giles tells us how the mayor's ascension is still an unknown known.
Mm-hmm. We just know that it's going to happen on graduation day.
Apparently.
Uh-huh.
And we know that it has nothing to do with the demon Azarath.
Oh, God, don't make me walk out.
Okay, so at the pep rally, Willow's reading the very negative articles in the school newspaper about pep rallies. And she says the school newspaper is starting to edge on depressing.
Depressing, yeah.
And Willow wonders if the demon was a boy demon.
Oh, God, yeah. That was awesome.
I was hoping that Buffy would have, like, a tail or horns for a while. I really was.
Yeah. Oh, and then Xander sees Wesley looking at Cordy, and he's jealous.
No,
it's Cordy.
Oh,
possessive shit. It's just, yeah, I know. Suspension of disbelief. They're high school. I know. Let's move on. I love Xander again with the whole shaking cross thing. I'm not going to go back on that. Come on, Xander.
All right, so Buffy runs into Angel that night. And,
he has got to stop doing that.
That's creepy.
He yes. must know that.
Stalker.
He does too.
Creepy stalker.
Ever since she was like 15. It's really. Where's
Chris
Hansen?
You don't love one person in 241 years.
Where's Chris Hansen?
Before Chris Hansen's time.
Chris Hansen was probably in high school, too. Angel tells her that he'll love her no matter if she's covered in slime.
Aww.
All right. So the next day in school, the Scoobies try to play down the excitement from the ball game the night before to
what
make Buffy feel...
What was that about?
They didn't want to make Buffy feel left out.
Yeah.
What? I know. I felt the same way.
So Buffy begins to... she begins to be able to read their minds a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
So Buffy walks down the hall, and she hears all the private thoughts of the students. And in class, mm-hmm. you know, Buffy's just, at first, she's all for this because she can read the teacher's mind, and she can answer questions in class.
But do you want to have that power? No. Not to the extent it went where Buffy went, but at the beginning where she could only hear like one person at a time.
Not really.
No.
Really? I think it would be cool. Awesome.
I would love it.
I don't think I want to know what people are thinking.
No.
Yeah.
I'd rather hear what they have to say.
But what if what they have to say is not what they're thinking?
That's probably for the best.
Yeah, my note was people's thoughts are creepy and depressing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would like to point out that I'm going to contradict myself.
Okay.
I've been saying how, oh, it must have been a rewrite. It must have been a rewrite. I have found myself to have a pretty good ability at recognizing people's voices.
Mm-hmm.
Example, I'll recognize a voice actor or like mm-hmm. a celebrity's voice in a cartoon or something and be able to pinpoint who's narrating that commercial and such, right?
Right.
And in that whole stretch of her going to the cafeteria mm-hmm. and walking towards the cafeteria and more people's thoughts getting in her head, I believe I distinctly heard Jonathan's voice say two things. No one's going to love me. And when he was standing next to Buffy and she said something, she doesn't even know I'm here. And it really does sound more like he's depressed, maybe not necessarily homicidal. Well, maybe he was just really, really stupid about guns.
Maybe.
But I really do think that was the actor's voice saying those things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Buffy notices Freddie Iverson, and he's thinking very negative thoughts.
Where do I know this guy from?
I don't know.
He's been in something Canadian. I've seen before. Okay, so he's been in what?
He was in like a whole bunch of shows on YTV. He's so Canadian, and he's also okay. in another movie.
He was a PJ.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a PJ on YTV. There we go.
He was also in because the guy who plays Freddie Iverson, I don't know his real name, but he's gay in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And I really found it really funny when Larry's like, "What is Freddie gay?" And I was like, "Yeah, if you saw the movies I saw, he's super gay."
Ooh, are this like nonsense cast movies?
No, not like that.
Okay.
He's also in a really bad Canadian show where he was a robot, and he was just—he was painted.
Oh God,
that sounds awesome.
Oh God, I've seen that.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? It was
yes.
so bad.
That's where I know
him.
He
had blue hair. It was weird. Anyways.
It was awful. I mean, it's no, you know, My Secret Identity.
No.
With Jerry Maguire.
Jerry Maguire?
Jerry Maguire?
What's his name?
Jerry O'Connell.
Yeah, Maguire. It's some generic Irish name. What do I know? I'm Portuguese.
Jerry Maguire.
They all drink alike. I have a degree in anthropology. I'm being culturally aware. Right. I'm not being racist. Yeah, so that's where I recognize him from. Canadiana.
He's so Canadian.
Okay.
All right. Well, in class, I don't know. There's some kind of Shakespearean discussion going on, and it reminds Buffy of Angel. So she leaves class and goes to Angel's house
to try and get into his mind.
So right. Stupid.
With her Jedi mind trick.
That's so 16-year-old, I swear.
Angel has Jabba the Hutt brain powers.
This is where I wanted to punch Buffy in the face.
You too, huh?
Yeah.
When she was trying to subtly bring up.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand why people do that. They don't just ask what they're... Because something I've always done, if I have a problem with someone, I just ask them. None of this... excuse my rephrasing, but backdooring them into the thing, you know, asking questions. Anyway, sorry, go on.
Trying to manipulate. I mean, yeah. Just be direct.
Mm-hmm. I love when Angel's like, I don't play games.
So yeah.
Go, Angel.
So the thoughts are like, they create a reflection, and just like the mirror, you can't read their thoughts.
So how did Angel know that she was trying to read his thoughts?
Because he had been stalking her and he knew that she could hear thoughts. I don't know.
I wondered that myself, actually.
Yeah.
Does he have a power that lets him know when someone's trying to break into his noggin?
Could he hear her thinking she wanted to break into his thoughts?
Maybe he already has aspic.
Okay, so she does ask, and he says that he hated hurting Buffy, and that Angel doesn't want a bad girl. For 243 years, he's only loved one person.
Yeah, by the way, that's the ultimate line. Can't top that line. No one can top that line. It's not possible. Right,
so in the library, Cordelia says exactly what's on her mind. Xander is thinking about sex. Oz is thinking deep thoughts and
he's very Cartesian, which is very disappointing. I wouldn't think of him as a Cartesian. I was not impressed.
You wanted his mind to be as sparse as his.
No, I just was disappointed in his line of thinking. That because Buffy hears him, then he doesn't have to speak, and then his words, and then all of a sudden she thinks therefore I am stuff. I really thought he was more Jungian. I can never say that. I always thought he was more Jungian than Cartesian in his philosophy with things, you know, with like collective unconscious or unconscious rather. Well, whereas collective unconscious would be kind of Jonestown. So, you know, I was actually thought that he would be in a different philosophy than that one. And I thought it was very, very egocentric. And I didn't expect that from his character.
I see. Okay.
Well, you know, that's the only class that they had at that high school. So.
Probably.
And then Willow is upset that Buffy can hear Oz's thoughts and was afraid that she would know Oz better than she does.
Mm-hmm. Possessive Willow. Weird.
All right, so they're in the hallway, and Buffy's hearing more student thoughts, and she's becoming a little overwhelmed. And we find out that the same thing happened to a man in Ecuador, and he's in complete isolation because of it. So they're starting to point out that this could go bad.
Yeah.
And so she goes into the lunchroom and she hears someone think, by this time tomorrow, I'll kill you all. And then Buffy becomes completely overwhelmed with thoughts and she loses consciousness. And Giles is afraid she'll go insane. Mm-hmm. All right, so at home she's in the bed and Joyce is acting uneasy around Buffy because she doesn't want Buffy to read her thoughts.
I didn't get that at first.
Yeah, me neither. I was like, why can't I hear Joyce's thoughts?
I was like, what's Joyce? She's being the worst mother ever. I'm like, why is she proving me right? And then all of a sudden, there it was.
Yeah, well, Jane Espenson said that she wanted to include this in this episode because she wanted to make it completely clear that they did go all the way. because she was afraid that it would be, it was a little, you know.
Well, she didn't want to just vaguely comment about it on a podcast with her co-creator.
Yes.
No.
Fans were questioning whether they did or not. And so she's like, okay, let's put this out there.
Wow. So a writer of a TV show actually wrote it and answered in the TV show and didn't just vaguely joke about it, making fun of their fans on a podcast. That's amazing. Look at it, you, Darlton. Looking at you.
All right. So I like this little scene with where Willow's organizing the investigation.
Yeah.
I wrote in all caps, I love Willow's neurotic assignments.
So Willow interviews Jonathan.
Again.
You know, fantasies are sometimes not enough. Oz interviews Hogan. Cordy interviews the teacher.
Very good interview.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, go
Illyria.
Even for Cordy. Hi, just wondering if you're planning on killing a bunch of people tomorrow. It's for the yearbook.
Well, because it's for the yearbook, that makes it okay. She could ask him anything.
Right.
She really is just... I think she's regressing. You know how people look smarter when they're next to other people who aren't as smart? I think that's what happened with Cordy. She was with Xander, she was awesome. And now that she's not with Xander, she's just awful again. Context is everything.
She's back in her Cordy ways.
Mm-hmm.
And Oz goes looking for Freddie Iverson and he's hiding and it looks really guilty. He looks guilty that he's guilty of something because he's hiding.
Snivelly little sneak. Very Gollum-like.
No, it's more like the writer is trying to do just to mislead us.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah. Anyways, go on.
All right. So Giles obviously discovered that there's a cure. It consists of a demon heart, of the demon's heart. And so Angel goes after the surviving demon and creates the cure. Oh, and while this is going on, Xander is interviewing Larry. And Larry is out of the closet.
Larry's awesome.
Larry is cool. I wish we had more Larry.
I wish there were more Larrys around.
He was also good in the what episode is it?
The Wish.
Yeah. He's great in that episode, too.
Can I just say how awesome it was that Angel was braved the sunlight for Buffy? and he had that cloak.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like smoking or steaming still.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. That's
and cool. he had the carafe of coolant.
All right, so the carafe of coolant kills the cures.
Okay, which one of these has the potion? Oh, I put it right over there next to the antifreeze. I just want to see the scene where Angel's like, antifreeze? Antifreeze? Potion. I better grab both. That's why she had that seizure. He gave her the antifreeze first.
All right, so the Scoobies discover a note on Freddy's desk. It's about death, and it's from Jonathan. And so Buffy is cured as she goes to the school in search of Jonathan and finds him in the clock tower loading a rifle. She runs up the stairs, jumps onto the roof, and then flies into the window of the clock tower. And everyone... Oh, she tells Jonathan that everyone has their own problems. And she takes the rifle from him. He was just going to commit suicide.
Okay.
Only.
Yeah. Why the scope? Why the high-powered rifle? Why the bell tower?
It was so cliche.
And, it was Willow going fishing with that hat?
I don't know. The hat's adorable. What is hideous is Xander's red and green shirt.
Candy cane shirt.
His Italiano shirt.
It looks like a pizza box.
Hey, it looks like Christmas.
I have your pizza.
I like Willow's hat. I own that hat without the bow. I really do. I wear it sometimes.
I didn't have a problem with the hat. I had a problem with the jeans she was wearing the day before. Those, like, flower bedazzled things she had going on.
I love her t-shirt. I love her t-shirt with the cat I recognize the cat. So who's that, a cartoon cat?
I don't know.
I don't know. But I liked Xander's yellow sweater. I actually did.
Xander.
I wonder, Xander. Did they buy those cute little iron-on things and put it on a bigger size? Because we have looked, you know, because we're looking for costumes. Mm-hmm. We have looked for adult size clothes with cutesy kitty stuff on them, you know, for costumes, for Willow costumes. And you can't find it. That's on little kids' clothes.
Hmm. No.
I wonder if they had to make those.
You need more hipster stores in your town because we have them all over here.
We have them all over here.
Yeah, especially in this one store where I actually went to go make a couple t-shirts for Comic-Con.
Ooh.
Oh. Little secret project.
Ooh. Question. If you saw someone running up the banister of the stairs and then flip onto the roof of the school, would you just be like, whatever? Or would you be like, what the hell is going on? And everyone
I would have the thought that other girl had, which is, I couldn't do that.
No, that was just, I'm like, no one else saw that?
I hate her.
No one else saw
that? Yeah, it was weird. I, at that point, was like, oh, here we go. Buffy's now Buffy's going to have to come out of the Slayer
closet.
Exactly.
I was like, well, no one's going to know that she's got crazy powers.
She's slowly done that this season.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, she, what was it? Something was going on at the lockers, and she, like, pushed somebody up against the lockers, a big guy. So she's slowly becoming more obvious with her powers.
Not a smart idea. That's what I think.
All right, so in the lunchroom, Xander gets distracted by Jell-O. Jonathan, and spots the lunchroom lady pouring rat poison in the food. Mm-hmm. And she threatens Xander with a meat cleaver. But Buffy steps in and saves him.
Yay!
Boo! My reaction was, really? Jonathan was going to commit suicide? The lunch lady?
Yeah.
Boo! Boo, 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 boo.
It was
boo.
A crappy ending, but then again, when we know what happened, why they did it, and you're like, okay, acceptable.
I really hope it was a rewrite. Because what if it isn't a rewrite? Then it's just, like, what? Okay, Joss Whedon does not seem to be, from what I've seen so far, the type of person who would be reluctant to put Jonathan in a mass murder situation. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So why have that easy out of, no, I would never hurt anyone, said the man with the scope on his gun.
Well, they did that in the episode before. We're in a scene, obviously, that we did not see, that Angel and Buffy plotted this let's fool Faith.
That I can kind of get because of a... yeah.
Yeah. That would have been two episodes in a row.
I don't know. I was very dissatisfied with the ending. I loved the rest of the episode, though.
Uh-huh.
The whole concept, the whole premise that she can hear people's thoughts.
Super cool.
You know? Although the title of the episode is misleading because she doesn't have to be within earshot. She just could be anywhere and go insane. Poor Ecuadorian guy. I hope they saved some of that potion for him.
Yeah, shipped it to him.
Ecuadorian guy?
Yeah, who's the previous case that Giles found out about?
Oh.
In a book that looks 50 years old, but he says it's a quite recent case. But, you know.
S.O.D.
Yeah. I enjoyed it very much.
Me too. Yes.
Oh, here's my note. Xander's candy cane shirt. Puke!
One of my
go ahead, please.
One of my favorite parts is when they're looking for Jonathan and Cordelia
is spinning the guys around
the short people and she has to look
I totally missed that. I totally missed that.
I loved it.
I totally missed that. I can't believe it. Who's choking to death? Is everyone
okay? I'm sorry. I'm okay.
Are you sick?
It's this bronchitis will not stop. When it gets to be evening time or when I'm about to record a podcast, I start coughing.
Excuses.
Did anybody think that Willow's starting to like Percy?
I thought that for a second that she might have a little crush on him.
And then she mentioned he was needy.
Yeah.
So it kind of assuaged that first. And then I reminded myself, oh, she's a lesbian.
No, she's not.
I think
she has a boyfriend.
I know.
So?
Let me introduce you.
Anything.
Let me introduce you to someone in my family who had 3 kids and now has an ex-husband. So.
No, but I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then she was like holding on to Oz's arm. And I'm like, something's going to happen with them now.
She's lying to herself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait for her to come out. I like, this is one of the things I'm looking out for. How is she going to discover her true self? That's what I want to know. That's what I'm looking forward to.
In college.
Oh, because, you know, there's a time and place for everything, and it's called college.
Right.
Yeah. It's true.
That's college. Experiment.
I remember becoming self-aware as a lesbian in college. Wait, I think I got that wrong. There was all that weed there, too.
Are we going to write the episode, or do we have any other points?
Any points?
I think we covered them all. In order.
I feel like y'all haven't said anything. I feel like I've just recapped the episode. And that's it.
That's what you were doing.
I mean, it's, I kind of wanted to lead you guys in conversation.
Oh.
Maybe it'll be better next time.
Heidi, what would you say would be maybe a couple major points you'd want to bring up about this episode?
I love the scene in the library when she's reading everyone's thoughts. It's just Cordelia saying what she's thinking is too funny. And I have down here, Xander is a teenage boy. And I think Wesley may be too.
Very good.
I loved Oz's inner monologue.
It was good. It was very good. I mean, it can't be perfect because he's not. Okay. The philosophy nerd side of me is going to shut up.
I like because... the part where, I'm sorry, Lyra, go ahead.
No, please. You okay. Go ahead and cut me off right now.
I like the part where Willow leaves. Oh, because she's upset that, is she upset because she's afraid Buffy knows Oz better than she does? Anyway, she leaves the library and Oz says, I'm going to go with the redhead. Uh-huh. That was
now, the
key.
First time I watched it, I thought I heard him say, that's what I do. But maybe I'm thinking about the next episode.
You watch the next episode?
Watch the next episode?
Yeah, of course. Didn't you guys watch... two episodes?
No, just one.
No, when I knew we were only recording one, I only watched one.
You guys haven't watched Choices?
No.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Wait, spoiler alert. You're spoiling me.
Yeah. Let me tell you, Choices is an episode.
This was an episode.
That's spoiler.
No. It's an episode.
Sweet.
Oh yeah, well,
we'll be watching.
You should
I'll be
immediately watch
minutes.
It. Yeah,
I will.
Gabby, Kim, don't bother packing for Comic-Con yet. Just sorry.
That was so mean.
I'm sorry.
I'll be attending BitterCon. Thank
I
you.
Know.
I'll be with you, Gabby.
Thank you, Heidi.
I'll be hosting a panel.
Listen, Madame. I watched the U2 concert from my balcony.
That was great. Oh my god!
Can't believe it.
So wonderful. I took some video. I'll post it.
I think that's illegal. Napster.
It was so loud that my walls were shaking.
Uh-huh. Well, you know where they had it here, at the old horse racing track.
Oh, that's cool.
Over at the Hippodrome, we had 80,000 people.
That's awesome.
Both nights, yeah. Half of them on the ground and half of them in these ridiculous bleachers.
That's so cool.
Yeah, but I digress. The wonderful stuff about this episode for me centered around Willow a lot. You know, and I think that's my idiom this season. Love Willow, love Willow, love Willow, love Willow, love Willow, love Willow. Oh, there's other stuff going on. but I don't know. I really, really, really like that character a lot. And I really especially enjoyed her micromanaging. I may do that as well. Just a little.
You can relate.
Oh, man. Yeah. And it, I don't know, it just brings me back to when I was a teenager watching TV and like totally like falling for characters. It's like I would have totally, totally fallen for Willow as a fictitious character if I was watching it when it would like aired.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so funny. And I probably would have like scoured the earth for a Willow. You know?
That's so true.
No, things worked out much better.
Aww.
She's sitting right beside you, isn't she?
No, Katie? She's not. Oh.
Kidding.
No, she's not at all. But, you know, but I was going to add, because, you know, Christine's not a lesbian. Because if I had found a Willow, it probably wouldn't have been a good idea.
Snap.
All right. I'm really Gabby. Ready you guys are.
What?
Tell us about tell us how you feel about this episode.
I really, really, really liked it a real lot. And I think one of my favorite things was at the beginning when Giles and Wesley were like dueling zingers at each other. I thought that was cute. But at the end, when it got to the end, I don't know, I guess I was just so shocked at the very end about the whole thing. Like, here's my notes. Like, Jonathan is a sniper, all caps. Shut the front door. And then I'm like, Sue said with a rifle. Really?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, rat poison, episode's over. I was pooped, man. I thought this was the big Jonathan thing. And
are we just too sophisticated for this episode? Do we just know more about guns than the average teenager? I mean, I don't know.
I think if I was watching it when it aired, I would have been like, why does he have a rifle?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, if it's got a scope on it, why would he need it? Why would he put it on?
The scope is an accessory. He doesn't have to attach it for the thing to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just
we're going down a rat hole.
Yeah,
here. Yeah. I don't know.
That we're not going to get out of.
Yeah, I don't know. This episode to me, it's one of my favorites in the whole series so far. For me personally, I just think because there was such a good mix of like serious and super creepy. Like when there was that voice, you know, that she ever heard that. Yeah, this time tomorrow I'll kill you all. I was like, dude, that is so freaking creepy. But then it was hilarious in certain parts too.
Mm-hmm.
When I heard that voice, I'm like, oh, she's honing in. Mm-hmm. And I thought this was going to be like a new skill that would go away by itself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I didn't really expect it to lead to the madness because I thought that exemplified her actually being able to control it.
Mm-hmm.
And pinpoint it and actually use it as a power.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Just dramatic effect, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, so we're ready to write.
I think so.
All right, Hattie.
I give this episode. Crap! I didn't think of the rating system. I'm gonna.
Do you want to go last? Because we can give you some time.
Yes.
Okay, Gabby.
I would have given this a perfect 10 if it wasn't for the running up the stairway wall thing.
Really? It bugged you that much, huh?
Yeah. I rolled.
Why not just giggles. Take the stairs, right?
Yeah, I'm like, seriously. But so I give it 9.5 out of 10 slippery weasels.
Well, I if it wasn't for the you don't commit suicide with a high-powered rifle with a scope, I give it 9 out of 10 naked girls.
Ooh.
Naked girls.
Okay. Naked girls, naked women, naked Buffy.
I thought this episode was, honestly, I thought it was good, but I felt it was also kind of average. I didn't love it. And I think because of my disdain from last week's episode, that I'm like, wow, 2 weeks in a row, we're duped again. I'm like, this is just lazy to me. And I did. And so I'll give it about 7.5 out of 10 clock towers.
I really enjoyed the hell out of this episode until the twist.
No.
Which I, anyway, I'm still on the fence.
Yeah.
Because it could just have been a lame twist.
I'm the same with you. This last week and this week, I loved it all up until the twist. And I'm just like, really, again?
See, I liked the twist last week, though.
I did not.
I know. I liked the twist last week. And this twist, I thought, was very disappointing. And it wasn't, it was just, I don't know. I'm going to give this episode 7 out of 10 giant boxes of rat poison.
Nice. Okay. I love this episode, although I do agree that the twist is lame. But I love the thought reading and even just the mystery of it, that you really don't know who is doing what, and everybody that they're questioning kind of has something going on. So I give it 9 out of 10 funny guy angels.
Any bra watch?
There was a lot of no bra in this episode.
Excellent.
Yes.
That's what we thought and observed. Give us a call, 270-40-BUFFY. You can send us an email.
Potentialcast@gmail.com.
And you can join our Facebook group on Facebook.
Facebook.com/potentialcast.
I don't know if that gets us there.
I don't know. We'll try.
That may not get there. Try the URL. It may not work. You can also go to potentialcast.com, which is our blogspot page. And that's where we release the show. You can check out our show notes, download the show directly, or subscribe via iTunes. Mm-hmm. For those of you that were at Comic-Con with us, thank you so much for having been there. And I hope I didn't embarrass you too much.
What if nobody showed up?
I am preemptively apologizing to all of you that had to see that. I think it's time for quotes.
I'm a funny guy.
But isn't that in Dr. Horrible?
I don't know. I've never seen it.
I don't remember.
You really should. It's really worthwhile seeing. It's very funny.
It just seems like one of those lines that it's been in a lot of things. I don't know. It's kind of like, I've got a bad feeling about this. You know?
Or I'm not supposed to be here today. Like that
too. I'm too old for this shit. Besides, prison, I know it's a lot like high school, but instead of noogies.
I still have knee marks on my back from the pyramid.
Dingoes ate my baby play their instruments as if they have plump Polish sausages taped to their fingers. Sorry, man. No, it's fair.
I laughed so hard at that.
You had sex with Giles? Twice?
On a police car?
I missed the middle, sorry.
Oh, man. Ooh. Way to go, Giles.
Joyce is a dirty, dirty girl.
Ew.
Mm-hmm.
Ew.
Ew.
Yucky.
Heidi.
Yes.
Where can we hear you?
The main place would be castlecast.net. That's my podcast about Castle. I also work with Between the Lines Studios on all of those Between the Lines productions.
Which we can't listen to.
Right.
Not yet, but eventually we will. We're almost there.
Can we listen to any between season one and two? Is there such a thing that exists?
Well, yes, it's between seasons two and three, but there's too many references to later things.
Boo. All right.
I'm sorry.
Don't apologize. I'm sure it's wonderful. It'll be worth the wait.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us. Really appreciate you.
Yes, thank you guys.
And we'll be expecting you again?
Yeah. Next season. So season four, yay. Somewhere in the middle.
Yay. Now, for those of you wondering why we didn't air this when we were supposed to be aired and we waited until sometime when we were doing season four, well, hopefully you can appreciate the irony. Oh, I didn't fill you guys in that that's what we're going to do? I thought about it. We probably won't be doing that.
No.
No. Goodbye, everybody.
Wait a second.
What?
Stephanie.
Homework again. I have missed
okay.
calling for homework 3 episodes in a row. I am so shitty. So what's our homework for next week, Steph?
Next week is choices.
Sounds good.
I'll be watching that in 5 minutes.
Nice. Choices. I'll be watching that in what, 2 weeks? All right.
Probably.
All right. Have a great time at Comic-Con.
We did. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing all your videos and stuff. Wonderful. And you
well, you know, we do what we can. My cell phone bill is crazy, though.
U.S. roaming charges.
Well, bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Arc.
Bye.
Sorry,
it was the girl
so today.
I said it really fast, went grrrg.
I feel like a girl. If I throw enough rocks, I might break through. And you let her down a window in a police cage. My man, I see a big dead man dead in the memory. My little power girl.
had a beautiful apartment. She had a beautiful apartment. Well, actually, it was a lousy apartment, but she's very handy with her hands, and she's got Architectural Digest magazine, so she knows what she's doing. She likes to decorate her apartment in the Santa Fe tradition. I told her it was dated, but I see more of the world than she does. She got an apartment where the property was cheap, next to the freeway. She said, I save lots of money, but I lose lots of sleep in my apartment where the property is so cheap. And we'd laugh, and we'd laugh, and we'd laugh. Oh, we'd take pot shots at the passing car. And we'd laugh. Oh, we were dumping the body, and we'd laugh. We found a place that was dark and rotten. A place where the police helicopters were never spotted. I destroyed the map that we so carefully dotted. Every day we're dumping a body, she and me. Every single day. And we'd laugh about it. That's when I knew it was time that we both kill ourselves together. Together we were nothing but a menace. Apart, we were nothing but lonely. I read too much. I thought we should kill ourselves. She doesn't read a thing. She believed me. Are you really the Messiah? Yes, I am. She was younger than me, too. She was younger than me. And I said to her, I said, you know, Colleen, no one stamps on a burning bag of shit anymore. Nobody. Yes, I am. Believe it. So we opted to kill ourselves, as I said, but we had one rifle and one bullet. So I told her to put her head down close to the barrel and put the barrel sort of into her mouth, and I'd be right behind her with my head right behind hers. I said, her life would end instantly. Mine might have a few extra minutes of agony and suffering. She couldn't pull the trigger, so we attached a string to it around the lamp and to the doorknob. The first person to come into our cheap fucking apartment would blow both our heads off. We got to think, and we changed our minds. You know, I mean, we got scared and we kind of chickened out, and we laughed. You know, we laughed about it. What were we thinking? We're not together. We're not that bad. We're not that bad. I mean, we don't need to kill ourselves. We don't need to kill ourselves. And then the D train rattled overhead. Not the door ajar, the door ajar, the door ajar, the door door, the door ajar. The knob, the faulty lock, the door swung open. And killed her. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. They said, don't you think, God, you push a bit too fast? I said, slow it down, don't make it last. And then the end, you said, I'm out of my worries, I'm gonna set you free. Oh, boy, I see that the world bring it home to me. Oh, all right.
Thank you very much.
All right. All right. Let's try Steph again. Unless Steph, you're there. Are you there, Steph? Steph, no, there.
Is she at work today?
I don't know.
No.
Oh, I think that's her.
No. Who's that? Is that Gabby?
No.
All right.
It was not me.
I'm just going to state something horribly neurotic.
Okay.
If you move your mic around or you touch your mic, I can't get rid of that sound. And even if you're not the one talking, it'll mute somebody else out. So.
Don't touch your mic.
Yep.
Please don't touch your mic.
I learned that the first time I got yelled at for accidentally doing it. And I didn't know.
Sorry.
A tear rolled down my cheek, Illyrio.
A single tear.
A single tear.